what is best. I hope you will open up your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. We want to look at a lesson entitled, Rise Above Your Name. Isaiah 60 and verse 1, God says, Rise and shine. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. God sees and knows that there is the potential for greatness in each and every one of us, if we will live up to it. We live up to our spiritual potential by putting God's will above our own will and doing what God would have us to do. Being not merely what we want to be, but being what God wants us to be and fulfilling the things in our life that God wants us to accomplish. In John 7:17, Jesus says, If any man is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or I speak of myself. If we are willing as individuals to put our will and our feelings and our think-sos and opinions aside and do God's will, do what God wants us to do, then we can rise above mediocrity and the sinful things of this life, mere carnality and fleshly mindedness, and we can rise to spiritual greatness in the service of God as children of His, and we can fulfill our potential for greatness by applying ourselves to God's will, not merely our own will, but rise above our name, rise above the mere physical circumstances that we find ourselves in, rise above just being like the world and doing as little as we can to get by, rise above apathy and so on, and be the zealous, strong, faithful followers of God that He would have us to be. There's no reason why we can't be the types of followers of God that God wants us to be and to follow Him according to His will, to rise above our name. Rise above your name. Be more than just John Doe, father, brother, friend, co-worker. Be the type of person that God wants you to be, both physically and spiritually. Rise above your name. Be more than just Jane Doe, mother, wife, co-worker. Be the strong, faithful, powerful child of God that God knows that you can be. I hope that this lesson will be an encouragement and a strength to each and every one here. Every so often we need a lesson to encourage us and edify us and just help to strengthen us as Christians to keep on keeping on, not grow weary in well doing, not faint or lose heart, but to continue steadfastly and zealously in the will of God. History is filled with great followers of God who rose above their name. They put their will and their feelings aside, what they wanted to do, and they did what God wanted them to do. They put their will aside, and they concentrated on what God's will was. And they left us a good example for us to live up to and to try to emulate as well. If you'll turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, and kind of keep your finger there, because we're going to be going back and forth to that passage throughout the lesson. But there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, Abel rose above his name to be more than just Abel, son of Adam. He became an example of righteousness, which all of us should emulate. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 says, By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. Abel died a long time ago, and yet he left behind a powerful example of righteousness and faithfulness to God that the rest of us should emulate. His name and His example lives on, because when He lived upon the earth, He didn't just, you know, live like the world and be satisfied to lower Himself to the thinking and standard of the world and to be carnally minded and rebellious against God, but He put His will and His feelings and wants and things those aside, and He did God's will. He rose above His name. He rose above His mere physical circumstances of life, and He was the obedient follower of God that the Bible portrays Him to be, an example of righteousness that all of us should try to be like. A good example. Enoch rose above his name to be more than just Enoch, son of Jared, Genesis 5:19. He became an example of how we should please God. There in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says, "By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God." He rose above his name. He rose above the situation he found himself in. He rose above the sin and fleshly-minded behavior of the world around him to be an individual who concentrated on pleasing God. He didn't concentrate on pleasing himself. He didn't concentrate on pleasing his fellow man. He concentrated on pleasing God. He was a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. And it's sad to say, but even in the Lord's church in some places, there are brethren who are more concerned with just, you know, keeping status quo and, you know, making sure we don't step on anybody's toes and so on, and rebuking sin and so on, and we don't want to offend anybody, you know, by preaching the truth that might help them correct their life so that they can go to heaven instead of torment. And, you know, they're so concerned with pleasing man that they forget about God's will and pleasing the Lord. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10, Galatians 1:10 says, Paul says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I will not be a bondservant of Christ." Brethren, we must be God-pleasers, not men-pleasers. That doesn't mean that we're out to start a fight and we're bound and determined not to get along with people. That's not what the passage is saying. But when it comes down to either pleasing God and doing His will and glorifying the Lord and saving my soul in the process and hopefully taking some other people to heaven right along with me, or the other option of pleasing my fellow man and, you know, just keeping status quo and, you know, make sure we never preach anything that rebukes sin in someone's life or steps on their toes and tells them, look, you know, you need to correct this that is amiss in your life, you know, because we're just so afraid that, my goodness, somebody might get upset and we got to keep everybody happy. You know, even at the expense of not pleasing God, of us losing our soul, and in the process taking other people to torment with us, we are to be people who rise above that type of immature, carnal, fleshly-minded thinking of pleasing man and say, I'm going to please God. We want to put God's will above our own and do what God would have us to do to be able to glorify Him and have a home in heaven when we die. But brethren, we are never going to make it through the pearly gates if, you know, we're not really concerned about pleasing God, but my goodness, I got to make sure I please my fellow man and make sure everybody in the congregation is always happy and never feels convicted by the word, you know, for the sin in their life. We must please God and do His will. And if we will be like Enoch, an individual who pleases God, then we can be saved, we can glorify God now and glorify Him in heaven, and in the process we can take others to heaven with us. In Jude 1, verse 14 and 15. Jude, verse 14 and 15. It was also about these men that Enoch and the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of His holy ones to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly men have spoken against Him." And so, Enoch prophesied as a prophet of God, prophesying by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He prophesied that in due time, the Lord will come with His holy ones, and He will, take judgment upon those who are more concerned with pleasing men or pleasing themselves rather than pleasing God. People who feel perfectly fine living an ungodly life, not caring about what God wants, not caring about what would please God, but they just want to please themselves or please their fellow man to make sure no one ever gets upset with them, so they're always the good old boy. Enoch says, the Lord's going to come one day with His holy ones, and those type of people are going to be punished. Let us make sure, as Christians, we're not among that number that's punished. Let's be people who please God, not put pleasing men above God. Noah rose above his name to be more than simply Noah, son of Lamech, Genesis 5:30. He was a faithful and reverent heir of righteousness, there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11:7, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according to faith." And so Noah was a faithful and reverent heir of righteousness. He wanted to reverently do what God's will was, in this case, to build an ark according to the command of God for the salvation of his household from the flood that was going to come upon the world and destroy everything that had the breath of life in it. And we as individuals must be people who are going to be like Noah. We're going to be faithful and reverent heirs of righteousness and do God's will as He has told us in His Word, so that in the final day we can be saved from the flood of God's wrath that's going to fall upon the disobedient and the unfaithful. In Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, 16 and 17, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may be glorified with Him." You and I, as children of God, can be heirs to inherit eternal glory in heaven with Christ if we are willing to rise above our name, rise above our own feelings and desires and think-sos and worldly speculations that end up doing no good but just to cause confusion and division and lead to the ruin of the hearers. Rise above those types of sinful worldly things and be the individuals who are faithful, obedient followers of God, who when God speaks, they reverently do what He says. God spoke to Noah, "Build an ark for the salvation of your house, because I'm going to send a flood to destroy the world." Noah obeyed the plan of God. He did God's will, following the pattern that God gave him. He revered God that much and did as God expected him and directed him to do. And if we're going to be saved from the flood of God's wrath in the final day, we can do no less. We must reverently do what God tells us to do. And we can have the opportunity to inherit glory in heaven as heirs, children of God. Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God." We, again, have the opportunity as children of God to receive an inheritance from our Father, an heavenly inheritance, but it is only for the obedient and the faithful. James chapter 2, verse 5. James chapter 2 and verse 5. "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" Those who love God. And through that love, as Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." They obey the commandments of the Lord and they're faithful to God. Those are the people who are going to be heirs of the eternal home in heaven and enjoy that heavenly inheritance. Abraham rose above his name to be more than just Abram, son of Terah. Genesis 11:26. He became the forefather of Jesus, the seed through whom all nations would be blessed. If you look at Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives, from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed." Through Abraham's seed, Christ would eventually be born. He would die as a sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world to give every accountable man, woman, boy, and girl that has ever existed the opportunity to be saved from sin and have the hope of heaven when they die. Abram here rose above his name, rose above the worldly idol worshiping society that he lived in, a society that worshiped other gods besides the Lord, and he rose above those things to be a obedient follower of God, faithful to the Lord, and being a forefather of Christ, who would be the Savior of the world. In Acts chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, 25 and 26, Acts 3, 25 and 26, "It is you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth will be blessed. For you first God raised up his servant," referring to Christ, "and sent him," sent Jesus, "to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways." Christ came into the world. He came preaching the gospel of God, telling man how to be saved from sin, and then dying upon the cross as a sinless sacrifice for the sins of the world, so that all of us could have the hope of heaven when we die, telling us and showing us by his perfect example how to turn away from our wicked ways, to repent of sin, to turn away from those things and serve God, to rise above our name, to rise above, you know, mediocrity and the carnality that we see around us. Just because society is going the way of evil doesn't mean that we have to. Jesus both taught by his word, by the gospel, how we ought to live, how we can rise above such things and be saved. And he especially taught us by his example. But Abraham was, of course, the forefather of Christ. And it was through Abraham that Christ would eventually be born into the world and be the blessing to all mankind by his sacrifice for our sins. Galatians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Galatians 3, 8 and 9. The scriptures foreseeing that God would justify or forgive the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham the believer. Abraham rose above his name. He rose above the circumstances of society and life that he saw around him and those that were living lives contrary to God. And Abraham believed God. Abraham was a believer in God and in God's Word. And of course, we know that, you know, because of Abraham's faith, it was accounted to him as righteousness. And Abraham, not only was going to be blessed by God through this covenant relationship that God made with him and the coming of Christ, but because of those things and so on, you know, God says you're going to be a blessing to the world. But you know, the only way that Abraham could be a blessing to everybody else in the world was he had to first rise above his name and rise above thinking in carnal, physical, fleshly, societal terms, and get down to pleasing God, believing God, and righteously obeying God. Then God blessed him. Then Abraham became a blessing to others. And it is only when we do those things and follow Abraham's good example that God will bless us, and we can be a blessing to the world. Obviously, a great example that he sets before us that we should try to live in our own lives. You know, Abraham would not merely be Abram, which his original name, Abram, means exalted father, but he would be Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. In Genesis chapter 17, 1 to 8, if you'll look there, please. Genesis 17, 1 to 8. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And that is the same thing that God expects of us. He is God Almighty, and he expects us to walk before him blameless. As we saw this morning, walk according to his word that will help us to be perfect or complete or adequate, thoroughly furnished to do his will, to lead a righteous life. And so on. So we are to walk before God and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be a father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram. Abram means exalted father. But your name shall be Abraham. The name Abraham means father of a multitude. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. Royalty came from the loins of this man. This was just part of the blessing that he would be to the world. Because of his obedience and faithfulness to God and the covenant that God made with him. Verse 7, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout your generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10, Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he lived as an alien in a land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundation, whose architect and builder is God. And so, Abraham rose above his name to be the obedient believer in God. God established his covenant relationship with him and said that through his seed, referring to Christ, all nations would be blessed. All of us now have the hope of heaven when we die through obedience to the gospel and faithfulness to God because of the sacrifice of Christ. And Abraham was a blessing to the world. And you and I can follow his example and be a blessing to the world ourselves. But we must rise above our name. We must rise above being like everybody else in the world who wants to rebel against God. And we must obediently believe and do God's will. Sarai rose above her name to be more than merely the wife of Abraham. She would become Sarah. Her name would be changed to Sarah, which means princess. She would be a mother of nations and kings. In Genesis 17:15 and 16, then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." The name Sarah means princess. "I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall become a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." God blessed her. And like Abraham, she also became a blessing to the rest of the world. She rose above her name. She rose above being like the world around her, and she faithfully obeyed God and had faith in God when God spoke his word to her and made his covenant promise to her that a son would be born to her, even though she was biologically, normally speaking, beyond the years of childbearing. She had faith in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11, Hebrews 11:11. "By faith even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised." God promised, and she had faith in God's promise. We need to follow her good example, and then we will be able to be like her and Abraham and be a blessing to the world. People who believe God and faithfully do his will. Moses rose above his name to be more than simply the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He became the leader of Israel. Hebrews 11:23-29. "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned." Moses rose above his name. He rose above his mere status of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He rose above simply being satisfied with the carnality and worldly mindedness and the pleasure-seeking, power-hungry attitude of Egyptian royalty, to be an individual who would be the leader of God's people and who would faithfully do God's will. Rahab rose above her name to be more than just Rahab the harlot. You know, you talk about a woman who rose above the circumstances she found herself in, and to rise above society looking down upon her as being a mere harlot. She rose above that situation to be a obedient and faithful follower of God. And her faithful obedience to God put her in the hall of faith, as we read in Hebrews 11. And she became an ancestor in Jesus' family tree. That right there is an honor and a compliment to her. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Hebrews 11, 31. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. It was God's will that she safely keep the spies protected while they searched out the land, so that they could then return safely to the rest of the Israelites and do what God wanted them to do and so on. And she was obedient to God's will in that regard and sent the spies away in peace. Welcomed them in peace and sent them back in peace. And she was blessed. She was spared. Her life was spared whenever they came and so on to destroy the ungodly of the land and to take the land of Canaan and so on. And as we read in Matthew 1, verses 1 and 5, she did indeed become an ancestor in Jesus' family tree. You can look there in Matthew 1, verses 1 and 5 at the genealogy of Jesus. And, Rahab the harlot, as she is called here in Scripture, was the mother of Boaz. And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. Jesse begot David the king. And David the king was an ancestor of Christ. And so Rahab the harlot rose above her name and the situation she found herself in to be a wonderful example for all of us. Rise above your name and follow the good example of these people. And of course, Jesus is our ultimate example that all of us should follow. In Hebrews 11, 32-40, it says, "What more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Men of whom the world was not worthy." Look at that. He just got done saying that some of these people were destitute. Homeless people. People that society would look down upon and, there's that beggar and so on. Or like, many in our society today look down upon homeless people. Destitute individuals who do not have all of the necessary blessings of life, so to speak, or riches and a lot of possessions. And yet, even though they were individuals who, he says, were, among other things, destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, because they rose above their name, they rose above those mere circumstances that they found themselves in, they rose above mediocrity and being like the world, and they were obedient and faithful to God. God says, even though that group of people is destitute, they might have been beggars, the poorest in the land, God says, the world is not worthy to have the blessing of those people among them. When that can be truly said of us, that God looks at us, who have determined, above all, we're going to do God's will. We're going to rise above our name. We're going to fulfill our potential for greatness in the kingdom of God and faithful service to God. And if that means that we become destitute, so be it. Because we're willing to love God and put His will above our own. Only then are we, you know, going to be like these people, and God is going to be able to look at us, even in our beggarly clothes, because we're, you know, poor as church mice, monetarily speaking. But we're faithful followers of His who've risen above the low standard of the world. That is when God will look at us and say, those people, because of their faithful service to me, and rising above worldliness and rebellion to me, are a true blessing to the world. So much so that, quite frankly, the world isn't worthy to have them in the world and to enjoy their association. And he goes on there in that passage as well and says, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Some of these people live like, you know, rats in the ground. That's all that they had for shelter. But those, you know, that wasn't what made them great. It was their faithful service to God. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. We have a lot of good examples for us to follow and to try to emulate. But of course, our ultimate example is Christ. And in chapter 12 there of Hebrews, verses 1 to 3, he says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Brethren, let's not grow weary in well-doing and lose heart. Let's rise above our name. Rise above, you know, the mediocre standard of the world. Rise above carnality and fleshly mindedness and rebellion against God. And let us be the faithful followers and servants of God that he would have us to be, so that we will not only be blessed by God, but we can be a blessing to the world. And hopefully then, whenever we are allowed to inherit that eternal home in heaven that awaits the faithful, hopefully then we can take a few more people with us. But we're not going to do that until we rise above our name and walk according to the high standard God set for us. If you need to come in obedience to God's word tonight, we hope that you'll take advantage of this opportunity to rise above the sinful situation you find yourself in. If you're not a child of God, and you know you haven't had your sins washed away in baptism through complete obedience to the gospel, then you need to obey God's word and rise above the sinful lifestyle that you've been living, so that you can be the follower of God and that he would have you to be, and meet the great spiritual potential that God sees that you have if you'll just do it. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, being willing to confess with your mouth before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33, being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, have those sins washed away and be counted as a child of God, and the Lord will add you to his church, the body of Christ, Acts 2:38 and Acts 2:47, and then live faithful to the Lord all the days of your life, following the good example that we've looked at. And if you've gone back into the world and you've not, you know, continued to rise above the fleshly standard of sin that, you know, the world wants to set, you haven't been rising to the higher standard of obedience and faithfulness to God, then you need to repent of that and ask God's forgiveness in prayer and renew your faithfulness and fellowship to him. As Simon the Sorcerer was told in Acts 8:22, if you need to obey God's word, do so now, as together we stand and sing.